Final hour of KFAN at the Combine is upon us. Welcome back. It's PA in Charge, courtesy of Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care. An interview with Seahawks offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell is coming up around the corner. Then we put a close on the Combine. But first, one of our very favorites in terms of analyzing not only the National Football League draft, but the NFL, is Matt Miller, very popular on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. He's also the NFL draft lead writer for Bleacher Report, and he joins us now in Indianapolis. Status of the Minnesota Vikings offensive line kind of speaks for itself. You're an elite draft mind, so go ahead. Make us better.
Yeah, it's a bad year to have to get better on the offensive line.
What's that mean? What about guards?
It's actually a good guard class.
Yes.
I'll say that. Especially where you guys don't have a first-round pick.
Yeah.
It could be a really good guard class in round two.
16 radio shows here. We're the one without a first-round pick.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Easy to find.
You have a quarterback now, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, you would rather not have your first-round pick than have to draft a quarterback in this
especially
draft.
Especially this
year,
right?
So,
who's the first quarterback that's going to go, and do you have a sense of where? We were just talking about this a segment or two ago. Five of the first six teams in this draft need quarterback, and it's not even close, right?
It's not.
If you include Jacksonville, is a little bit iffy, but I think they even could go here. But four out of six for sure are in a desperate spot at quarterback.
Yeah, and it's tough because all your guys like myself have said there's no quarterback worth drafting in the top five or six. But
right.
Like you just mentioned, someone's going to do it. Maybe the guy standing behind us right now, John Lynch and the 49ers might be the team that does
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
The Bears at three. They're the sleeper team that no one's talking about. The Bears could be kind of the wild card in this draft because they could pull the trigger if the Niners go defense at pick two, if they trade out to try to get Kirk Cousins, like whatever happens
right,
there.
Right.
The Bears are kind of the team where it's like everything could spin on what they do. But you've got the Jets at six. Who knows what they will do because it's a true best player available draft philosophy. They don't draft for need. Like you could look at taking Leonard Williams when they did. Taking Darren Lee last year when they did. Like
yeah.
They will go with whoever's highest on that board is going to be the draft pick.
And if there is going to be a quarterback taken in the first six picks, who do you think it will be, and do you think they'll get it right?
I think Mitch Trubisky will be the guy who comes off the board first, just because you look at traits and, the NFL is kind of a copycat league,
yeah.
So everyone wants that Derek Carr kind of quarterback right now.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're very similar in terms of athleticism and arm strength. He was only a one-year starter at North Carolina. Everybody's going to talk all about that.
Right.
He was a really good one-year starter in North Carolina. the bad games that everybody brings up, he played in a freaking monsoon against
Ooh.
Virginia Tech. Stanford beat him up a little bit, but their defensive line is amazing and their defense is really good. So I would think that he's still the guy, and that might be to San Francisco at two, might be to Chicago at three, but I would guess right now he has to be a top five pick.
So with all these teams early and needing quarterbacks, but there aren't guys that grade out there, do you see a bunch of draft day trades where teams, these quarterback needy teams fall back to the middle and latter parts of the first round, where they could potentially still get the quarterbacks they're looking
for? It would make sense, but I think you have to worry about that panic. So you mentioned, guys don't belong. Blake Bortles went third overall.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill went 10 overall. And they were guys who I felt didn't belong, but teams backed themselves into corners and have to draft a quarterback. So
right.
That's actually where the Vikings are a little fortunate, because now you are not pressured to draft a quarterback
Correct.
In round one.
Yes.
Even though, you don't have a first-round pick and that sucks.
Yes.
But
we don't have to go find a quarterback in this draft class either.
And you don't want to be in a situation where you're drafting Deshaun Watson and trying to make him play year one.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of these teams are right now, is you're fitting square pegs into round holes, basically.
Let's talk about Deshaun Watson, because I think for more casual listeners right now, he was a guy that, because he was early Heisman buzz, we saw a lot of him throughout this year.
Right.
And he's very name recognizable to a lot of people. Where do you think he fits in among this quarterback class, and what parts of his game do you like, and what worries you?
He's a hard evaluation, because you can look at things like the Alabama games, the two Alabama games,
mm-hmm.
and say, like, my goodness, this guy's a player.
Yeah.
You can watch him play Ohio State, Florida State, and he looks awful.
Mm.
So he is a hard player to kind of come up with a solid grade on. Where he fits in this class, I think he's probably the third or fourth quarterback, just honestly, because of Kaiser and Trubisky at the top.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes is gaining a lot of buzz as we get closer to the draft. So with Watson, I was glad to see he came in a little bigger than expected today.
Yeah.
He weighed 222, I think, which is good for him. He was 218 at the Super Bowl, so he's continuing to put on weight. But I think that, the casual football fan sees something like the Alabama game and thinks this kid has to be the first pick in the draft. But
mm-hmm.
what they don't see are the games where he's thrown multiple interceptions, where he makes some really bad decisions. Like, he threw a pick against Troy in the flats, and you're just like, he did not see that defender standing there. And that's against Troy. Like, yeah, we're not talking LSU, Alabama. So there are enough concerns with him that I think he just – teams have to be a little patient in getting these guys up to speed.
With Watson, the reason I think that – when I think in time he could be a starter.
Yeah.
I think his mechanics are pretty sound. Yeah. And I don't, you know, as opposed to like a Mahomes where I feel like, you know, this thing's.
You got to rework
everything.
I've been told that Mahomes here is going to look like a different person because of the work they've done in the past 3 months with his footwork.
Really? Okay.
So he's been at Exos with Jordan Palmer, and Jordan is the best in the business at fixing issues. He made Blake Bortles look like a franchise quarterback. So that should tell you how good this guy
did his
job.
Yeah, right? That says something.
We'll see how Mahomes looks here, but I expect we'll see a different guy.
Go ahead.
One more quarterback I'd like to throw at you just because I've gotten some steam that this guy's going to rise over the course of the next month, and that's Pittsburgh's Nate Peterman.
Yeah.
And that right now he's kind of way off radars, but for a guy that – a month ago, people were talking about, oh, didn't know if he'd be drafted, that he may turn into like a day two draftee by the time this process is going.
And that could be round two because he had a good Senior Bowl week. And, you know, we talked about there's a lack of quarterbacks, so people are going to fall in love. And I think that's where we could see the trades is because every team's going to have a different evaluation on these quarterbacks. So if you are the Cleveland Browns, you say, you know what? We don't really want to spend number one overall on a quarterback.
Right.
Pick 12 comes around. Okay, your guy's probably off the board. Use one of those second-round picks to get Nathan Peterman and still get a pretty dang good player who is pretty pro-ready, especially compared to the guys who are going to go early in round one.
Right.
Because of the offense he ran at Tennessee and then went to Pitt and ran that offense, he's a little more – he doesn't have the ceiling of Deshaun Kizer or Deshaun Watson, but he definitely doesn't have Pat Mahomes' arm strength. But he's a little more refined as far as quarterback play goes.
Yeah, a little more pro-ready. All right, so we're going to keep our eye on Nate Peterman.
Let's see,
you know, he's going to – I think he's going to end up being one of the talkers that'll evolve a little bit as the draft gets closer.
Matt, if the Minnesota Vikings get, say, Riley Reiff via free agency, and with pick 46 they maneuver their way to a guard, for the way things you think will operate under Pat Shurmur with Minnesota and Sam Bradford at quarterback, would you prefer Western Kentucky's Forrest Lamp or Indiana's Dan Feeney?
I don't think Lamp will be there, but I would prefer him because of how technical he is as a pass blocker. He understands space so well because he's played left tackle, and he moves extremely well from that position. So I think he's an easy – he's like Zach Martin. You watch Zach Martin play left tackle, you knew he was going to be a great guard.
Yeah.
And I think Forrest Lamp is the same way. Dan Feeney's a lot more realistic at that spot.
Yeah.
And he's a
fun
player. I like him a lot. He's tough. He's played right tackle in a pinch, so he has some experience out on the edge. He can handle himself on an island. He's smart. He's tough. He's physical.
Yeah.
So I would be, if I'm a Vikings fan, and Dan Feeney is our pick of 46,
I'm
pretty happy about having him as a protector for the next 10 years.
To the next phase of getting the Vikings offense up to speed. Say Adrian Peterson is no longer in the mix. Matt Asiata also is a free agent. So say he doesn't come back. They have Jerick McKinnon. And say they use a third roundish pick somewhere between like 90 and 100, whatever, on a running back. The guy from Clemson, Wayne Gallman.
Yeah.
Do you like him?
I like him. He's a three-down player. He can help in the run game, can help in the return game. Good receiver out of the backfield as well. Runs with a little more power than he's been given credit for, I think, because he kind of got washed in that system with, you know, Mike Williams and Deshaun Watson and Jordan Leggett. Everyone forgot about Wayne Gallman, but he's absolutely capable of being a starter that would come out of the third round. I've been telling people this is the deepest running back class I've ever seen.
So this is an A-plus class,
right? You can get a running back in the third round who's going to be a starter. The guy to watch is Joe Mixon because he's going to fall, and he's going to be a Pro Bowl player because of what he does.
Were it not for the incident, not only was there no video, but let's just say it never happened, where would he be grading out just on ability? Would he
top
be like
15?
Late? Yeah. Right.
Like he would be over Dalvin Cook. He would be over Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Okay, Fournette might be the only guy ahead of
him. So with your top 100, you rank him 26. Is that taking into account what happened?
That is taking into account what happened. So that tells you how good he is.
Yeah.
I think the thing is with him, it happened in 2014, and it was terrible, and it was awful, and he should have never done it. But I think it's – in my job, it's really become hard for me to punish guys for a mistake.
Yeah.
For one incident. And there are other guys in this draft class who have repeat mistakes. They have a pattern of problems. Mixon has one really, really bad mistake, and it was caught on camera, and it makes it a little more obvious and a little easier to judge. But I still think he's going to he might not go at pick 26, but yep, he's one of the top 30 best players in this class.
Bleacher Report's Matt Miller via Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. He's one of our favorites. He also has a top 100 player listing at BleacherReport.com and a position-by-position primer that is fantastic. He does podcasting. You can learn more about that at NFL Draft Scout.
So I think the NFL didn't do him any favors with the way the combine worked out for him.
Right.
I think he'd have been much better off meeting with teams here, even if he didn't work out. Maybe he said, all right, we're not going to work out, but we're going to meet with teams, answer questions about, you know, this and anything else they want to talk about. Because now the setup is every NFL team, you know, they've got their tape on them and everything, but they got nothing else. And so now, you know, now teams are going to have to almost one by one schedule workouts and turn that into a, schedule interviews, workouts, and turn that into a thing with Joe. And they, I think they just sort of ripped the Band-Aid off and said, you know, he's going to be at the combine, he's going to be answering questions, and just got that over with, and he talks to 32 teams.
They might come take my credential for saying this, but the NFL messed up here, and I don't think they should be punishing players for things that they've already gone through the court system for. He went to court. He was tried for this, and he pled and did his community service, and he hasn't been in trouble since. Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly's not a good person. He's not a great guy. I would not want to be friends with Chad Kelly, but he should be here if you believe in the NFL's policy on off-field issues. So it's all for PR. That's all it is. This is, look at this thing, man. It's become a TV show, and they don't want Joe Mixon here ruining their TV show. That's
why you don't have him work out. So you bring him in here, don't have him work out, but you let him meet with all the teams.
That's
what
they should have
done.
Yeah, should have done the same thing with Chad Kelly and everyone else. Because if you're going to let Dalvin Cook and DeeDee Westbrook run and work out, then you got to let everybody, is the way I look at it. So, you know, I'm not a league guy, but, you know, I'm not here to protect the shield or anything. But I think they really dropped the ball on this because they're not doing the team's favors, like you said, because every team, they know on film how good Dalvin Cook is. What they want to know is what he's like. Or, I'm sorry, Joe Mixon. They want to know what he's like. They want those 15 minutes to talk to him. And now it's going to be harder to do that. And I would be interested to see which player is going to sue the NFL first for, you know, prohibiting their ability to make money.
Right, which it kind of does. I mean, it's, you know, for Joe Mixon, this is a blow to his draft stock in many ways, right?
And we're talking about a system drafting. Could you imagine going to school to be an accountant and being drafted to go work for an accounting firm? That would be like, you know,
if
we had a journalism draft, you know, where am I going to be working next year? It's amazing.
Now we're into antitrust issues, which that's a whole separate and very boring conversation.
It really is.
The Vikings, as Paul alluded to, the Vikings have one running back on roster, basically, right now. So they're going to have to come up with one, and this is the perfect draft
this
to
is
do
the
it,
year.
Right?
Yeah.
So give me – weird. I was speculating I would like to see a fourth-round running back and like a seventh-round pick for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Give me a name. Fourth-round running back that the Vikings could target who might be like a second-round talent in any other year and maybe a long-shot seventh-round guy.
Other than Joe Mixon.
Well, if you were there with the fourth round
– yeah, all day,
you're
right?
You're going to have to think about that.
I like Kareem Hunt from Toledo, and – his draft stock is kind of up and down a little bit, but he is someone that I would watch that could be like a Jordan Howard type, that like a really good college back who just gets lost in a good class and then becomes a starter. If he's there in the fourth round, I think he would be a good pick. The guy I've really, really warmed up on lately is TJ Logan from North Carolina as a late round guy. He's explosive. I thought he was the better running back. Elijah Hood got more carries and more yards and everything, but I think TJ Logan was a much better player. So those would be, if I could get that 1-2 punch, I'd
feel
be pretty happy.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
What about from an offensive line standpoint, just to continue that, you know, with Ramczyk from Wisconsin and a few others, I mean, do you seriously feel there are like 1, 2, or 3 offensive tackles who can be taken and teams can put them in and feel good about them in 2017?
Yeah, I think Ramczyk and Garrett Bowles are two guys you can feel pretty good about. Forrest Lamp, you can feel pretty good about year one. Cam Robinson in the right scheme coming out of Alabama will be fine.
Is he a tackle or a guard in the NFL?
He's probably going to be a right tackle to start out. He might end up being a right guard.
Right.
Because he is very powerful.
What about Ethan Posick from LSU?
Posick, gosh, he's 6'6", which is weird for a center.
That is
a little tall
for a
center.
Do you think will he play guard or center?
I think he'll play guard long term just because – and I've had a really good conversation with a Twitter follower, and he was like, you know, most centers are 6'4 plus now, but – it's a pretty big difference between 6'4 and 6'6, especially once you put the helmet and cleats on and everything. So I'm not the biggest Posick fan. I think he's probably a second or third round player, but Pat Elflein from Ohio State is a guy I absolutely love as a plug and play center, you know, who's going to be a high caliber player right away.
Last one for Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout via Twitter.
Who's the best player in the draft?
Myles Garrett. hands down, no hesitation.
So will he go first?
He'll go. Well, it's the Browns, so who knows?
Right.
They could. They're the Browns, so they could mess this up. He should go first overall.
What makes him? What makes him so good?
You're going to see when he works out to be almost 6'5", 280. He's going to run in the 4.5s. He has long, powerful arms. He knows how to use his hands. He's just he's Jadeveon Clowney with a better understanding of how to use his athleticism. So I had a scout a couple weeks ago say he was Bruce Smith. So that tells you how highly they think of this kid.
Thanks for the time.
You bet, guys.
Thanks,
enjoy the
again.
Combine. Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, BleacherReport.com, at NFL Draft Scout via Twitter. When we return, we'll play back an interview we recently conducted with Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. That's next when we return to KFAN at the Combine, courtesy of Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care. Don't leave.